Hello, and thanks for joining us for today's Big Sky Mental Health Podcast that will focus on fatigue and burnout. I'm Denise Thompson from the Big Sky, and I'm joined by Aaron Grisonic, the Director of Student Athlete Wellness at Montana State. Our guests today include Weber State Director of Strength and Conditioning, Derek Rosinski, and Northern Colorado Assistant Director of Student Athlete Success, Abby Depperschmidt. Thanks for joining us for this special podcast, Derek and Abby.
Let's start with Derek. Derek, how has being a former student athlete helped you in your role as a strength and conditioning coach?
You know, honestly, it's helped me immensely. Being able to understand the daily life they go through, you know, from class to school to the social aspect to family, you know, and for me, a lot of athletes, you know, being away from them, I also was away from home, you know, a good 8 hours. So, you know, being able to understand the, you know, the ins and outs of sometimes wanting to be home with your family, sometimes the daily struggle with being away from, you know, a sick parent or a sick sibling, it is huge. And, you know, understanding the psyche from day to day, you know, that's probably the biggest part of that is understanding the, you know, where they're coming from, you know, being able to, you know, when they show up in the weight room or in the indoor or on the field, you know, to run or to lift or even for practice, you know, you can read their body language and understand kind of where they're at just from that.
Abby, in your role, when you come into contact with the student athletes, you know, it might involve academics, but it could also involve community service elements, things that are going on at home, things that are going on in their sport. What are ways that you think that student athletes can avoid burnout when they just have so much going on?
Yes. I mean, burnout is an issue for student athletes in the best of circumstances, like you mentioned, with all of those things competing for your time between sport, classes, jobs, family, relationships, all these different things. Not surprisingly, we're seeing even higher levels of burnout in the past, you know, 6 to 12 months with the global pandemic and the social justice issues taking center stage. So I think it's really essential for student athletes to recognize that we have to continually be addressing mental, physical, and emotional health, because all of those things contribute to what we would consider burnout. It isn't just a physical fatigue. It can be that mental and emotional just stress as well. So I think it's really important that we start developing kind of prophylactic strategies for managing stress and anxiety, optimizing sleep, recovery, nutrition, all those things from day one, so that we can hopefully avoid hitting that critical point in burnout. And that develops a good foundation for students to really manage acute issues as they arrive. I often use a bucket analogy with my students. You know, we perform best on the field and in the classroom when your bucket is full. And a lot of the activities we do as a student athlete actually pull out of that bucket. So hard physical training, mental stress of competition, you know, tests, homework, all those things are taking out of your bucket. So we also need to be filling that up with other activities that are going to relieve stress and help kind of keep that in balance. So that's just like a visual analogy, I think sometimes helps students recognize that we can't just be constantly doing activities that are draining you. Some things we've talked about doing with students that I always encourage is developing a mindfulness and meditation practice. We use the Headspace app a lot. That's a great foundation for starting to harness the power of your thoughts and how that impacts emotions and the way we interact with the world around us. Time management, organization, all of those things are super important as well.
Thank you. I like how you kind of painted that picture to let it know it's, you know, it's a bigger bucket. It's more than what might be seen in front of you. And all those things obviously correlate together, even when you may not realize it.
Kind of going hand in hand with that kind of bucket analogy where you're trying to keep your bucket full. Derek, how does nutrition play a role in that, especially with dealing with like fatigue?
Oh, it's huge. You know, if you're not fueled the right way, it can have a great effect. You know, just your fatigue, your mood, how you feel from, you know, emotionally from day to day. I mean, nutrition is, to me, underrated in a lot of those aspects. You know, if you're not eating the right foods and consuming the right amount of, you know, hydration from day to day, week to week, that can have a huge effect on, on how you feel, you know, and if you're not feeling up to par and your fatigue is at a high level, you try to keep pushing through. It's a recipe for injury. It's a recipe for, you know, for burnout, you know, like we're talking about today, fatigue and burnout. It's a recipe for that to be at a very high level. You know, like Abby talked about, it's one of those things that go into your bucket, you know, and nutrition's, I think, one of the most important parts of that whole equation, you know, of being at your best. You know, if you're the kind of person that's going out to a fast food restaurant all the time and not, you know, eating health, making healthy choices, you know, it's going to show up in practice. It's going to show up in the weight room. It's going to show up in class. You can't stay awake. You can't concentrate, you know, at the same level because you're not feeding your body the right way and the things it needs to perform at a high level.
Thanks, Derek. You know, I've fallen victim to that fast food hangover a few times, especially driving long trips. And I get it. Like, you know, it keeps you mentally sharp and physically sharp to have good food and nutrition in your body.
You know, Aaron, Abby and Derek kind of just touched on it, whether fatigue, burnout, the strength and conditioning and nutrition part, they all do fall under the mental health aspect of it all. You know, even though someone may not realize it. So for you, what are some resources that students or coaches and administrators, right, can have on hand when it comes to mental health awareness?
You know, I think that every school is a little bit different in terms of resources. And so it gets a little hard saying, well, do you have this person that's a professional? But I think the best resource that's out there is ourselves. And I think that really means we should be equipping ourselves in our role to be a resource for our student athletes, whether that's getting certain mental health training, knowing what resources exist on your campus so you can point the students into that direction. But I think, you know, mental health and wellness and dealing with fatigue and burnout is everybody on everybody's job who's part of an athletics organization, and having a few key tools on how to talk to students and to refer them appropriately is probably the best tool that we can have for our student athletes. Abby, what can student athletes do if they see the burnout coming, but they can't feel it stopping?
Yes, great question, especially as we move kind of past the prevention phase into feeling like it's becoming more of an acute issue. I think we often underutilize resources like counseling and sports psychology on college campuses. For a lot of athletes, that feels too vulnerable, and it can run counter to that narrative that we tend to perpetuate of what it means to be high achieving and successful as a student athlete. When in reality, you know, counseling and sports psychology is one of the most powerful tools we have at hand to deal with burnout, both prophylactically and in the acute circumstances. I think communication, like clear lines of communication, is really key for both coaches, staff, and players to communicate and make sure that we're connecting students with resources they need and that students feel they have a safe place they can go to talk about what they're struggling with. I always tell my students, like, when you step into my office, this is a safe space. You can be vulnerable, be completely honest, be authentic with where you're at so that I know what we need to provide for you to optimize your health and performance. And I think that line of communication can then travel up the chain of command to coaches and administration as well. I think it's important to recognize that even just a day or two of rest can sometimes be all it takes to really help that cycle if we catch it early enough. And that's ultimately what we're looking to do, is prevent, you know, end stage burnout for these student athletes. Other things I really think that they can handle on their own outside of resources from the university is optimizing sleep. I think that's something that student athletes tend to push aside because it feels like we're super busy and there's so much going on and my schedule is too packed and they want to be able to have some time to go out and have fun with friends, although COVID makes that even harder now. But that tends to be the first thing that students let fall away. And that's a super important thing to help them refocus kind of what they can do in the immediate. I think it's also important for students to recognize, you know, we can't always control everything going on around us, but we can't always control mindset, attitude, and effort. So focus on those three things, and that's going to help everything else fall into place and kind of help manage those stressors a little bit better. Focus on those intrinsic things we do control that impact how we engage with the situations around us.
I like that. I like how you talked about it being a cycle. I definitely see burnout as being a cycle. If we don't do something different in that cycle, it's just going to continue to impact us. And using those resources, like you talked about, our resources that are there that are our strength to help us get out of those cycles. It just sounds really important. So thank you, Abby.
And I agree, Aaron, you know, burnout can lead to exhaustion, you know, and Derek, Abby touched on it, that safe space, right? So how do you communicate with your student athletes, you know, that you're there to help them through this process without them just looking at you as if you were an adult, right? But trying to get them to really, like Abby said, touch that vulnerability a little bit so that you can help them.
Yeah, I mean, communicating to our athletes, you know, a lot of it is communicating those resources to them, you know, like the other spaces on campus, you know, every campus is a little bit different, you know, us as strength and conditioning coaches, our a lot of it for us is sharing those resources and insights on a regular basis. You know, cause as strength and conditioning coaches, we see these kids a lot, you know, now that varies a little bit from team to team, but you know, you're seeing these kids a minimum of 3 times a week in some sports and some teams and some groups. You're seeing them, I know with some of my teams, I'm seeing them up to 10 times a week, you know, and it's each kid, and it's constantly reassuring them that, you know, they're not alone in the whole process, you know, that everybody goes through this at some point, you know, even some people that may seem strong, you know, you don't know what struggles they have on their own. You know, I might, because I have that relationship with my athletes, but from player to player, they might not share that with each other. And I communicate with them that I have an open door policy all the time. Even my door shut because of COVID, so I could take my mask off. My door is open. You come knock on my window, I toss my mask on and we sit down and we'll talk. You know, and it's, again, I tell them anything that we talk about in here, if you don't want me to share it with other people, it's between you and me. It's between you and me. And I won't share it, you know, and it can range from a lot of different things that are, you know, we talked about all the factors from family, social life, academics. They can pour their hearts and their minds out sometimes, and it just letting it out and just letting them air their frustrations a little bit and, you know, letting them kind of go through that process can help, you know. And for me, I give them a no pressure situation. If you don't want to talk about it, that's okay, you know, and just getting on their level, you know. And sometimes some kids, you need to let them know that we've all been through it. You know, when we were players, sometimes us as coaches, we have some moments where you get late in the season and you're just grinding through it. But, you know, them knowing that you've been through something similar and you've at some point felt that, you know, they feel more open a lot of times, you know, it humanizes it, you know, it makes it more of a level playing field for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, Aaron, you know, pre-COVID, sleep was essential. During COVID, sleep is essential. That there's so many distractions out there where we all have a friend or two or a family member who thinks that they can just go off of 4 and 5 hours of sleep and be energized and ready to conquer today. Why is sleep so underrated?
You know, I think I'll kind of give a funny reply and then I'll talk about that a little bit. But, you know, I think sleep is underrated at night when you have a lot that you could be doing, hanging out with friends, watching a movie. There's always a little bit time to stay up a little bit longer. But then it gets overrated that next morning and you don't want to get out of bed. That's how it is with me, at least. And I fall victim to wanting to watch one more episode of whatever thing it is on Netflix. So, but I think sleep's underrated because it's when we have a lot going on, and I think our athletes are prime examples of this. When they have a lot going on, there's always more room in the day that they can add if they take away sleep. So sleep's an easy thing to fall victim to all of the other busyness that's going on. But it's super essential. We talked about this idea of filling the bucket and filling the bucket with lots of different things, whether that's dealing with the stress and the burnout, the nutrition, and sleep's one of those things that helps you stay full. It helps your body physically. It helps your body emotionally and mentally. We're designed really as humans to do two different things, to be moving around and to rest. And if we don't rest our bodies and allow our bodies to recuperate from the movement that we've had throughout the day, then we're doing ourselves a disservice and we're going to end up weakening ourselves. I think sleep's underrated at night and probably overrated if you're in my house. It's overrated in the morning when you're tired, but it's super essential, especially for student athletes. We know that they require up to 4 extra hours of sleep compared to other people who aren't exercising and going through those physical demands. Abby, what are some tips to balance your schedule that can help prevent you from reaching your burnout stage?
Yes, I think one of my favorite strategies is actually using a planner, and students always balk at this. So whether that's on your phone, your computer, or your laptop, or if you're going to go old school pen and paper planner, but writing down when you have classes, when you have practice, when you're traveling, when you have meetings, and then filling in around that when you're working on homework each day, when you need to run errands, kind of planning out your day so that you know you have time for everything. And then also planning out time for those activities that are going to fill up your bucket each week as well. And I think having that visual reminder can do a couple of things. One, it keeps you on track. And 2, it helps relieve that stress that tends to come with feeling kind of cluttered and unorganized. So I think using some sort of planner device is super important for balancing all those competing interests for your time and energy. I also think it's important for students to recognize that you have to plan what you're going to work on during your study times so that you're not just walking into study hall or sitting down in the library with no idea what you're going to do at that point in time, because then we're just wasting time. So if you have a big test on Friday, know you're going to start making flashcards and reviewing notes on Monday that week. You have a paper due next week. This week, we're going to start finding your sources and outlining your paper, like actually have an action plan for what you're going to do during those scheduled times so that we're making the most efficient use of time. I think procrastination tends to throw things out of balance as well and adds to higher levels of stress. And then additionally, that adds to, or it decreases optimal learning and performance both in the classroom and on the field when you are procrastinating and increasing that stress level. I also think flexibility. So have your plan, but if it's not working out, be flexible enough to reprioritize and change that as needed to kind of keep everything in balance.
You know, most of my life, I was not a really good schedule keeper and writing things down. And as my life got more and more busy with multiple things I was trying to balance, I was getting more and more stressed out. And someone said, why don't you just write down what you have to do and then cross it off? And so I tried that and my stress level went so far down. I couldn't believe it. So in terms of scheduling, following through with the schedule and then being efficient with what you want to accomplish in those times, you know, I can't echo that enough, Abby. Being somebody who is a convert to doing something like that, who never really did. So yeah, thanks for sharing that.
I agree, Abby. As you were talking, I took a glance at my dry erase board and I was counting and counting and I was like, I have 20 items on my to-do list. And I kind of just cringed inwardly. But then as I kept talking to you, I was like, okay, you know, which ones might be for Thursday, Friday, you know, Monday, and just kind of like put little notes on now that I have them all down, you know, prioritizing them. And I mean, like you're saying, I mean, we're all in the profession, you know, whether it's student athletes, we all need a dry erase board, planner, sticky notes. I went to the dry erase board because my sticky notes became too much. They're everywhere. They're full. I've turned them over and I'm wasting paper. So the dry erase board definitely is my friend right now, especially during these times where student athletes are busy. You know, we're busy, but we're all trying to, you know, do what we can. So just thank you so much, Derek and Abby, you know, for joining us on today's podcast. It was great for your insight, you know, to be heard. You know, we will definitely be sharing this. Aaron, thank you as always for joining me on this podcast. And remember, listeners, you can visit bigskyconf.com and click on the Mental Health Resources tab under the About section to access more information. Follow us on Twitter at @BigSkyConf. And until next time, have a great day and thanks for listening.